bringing you around the world right from your desktop. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am your host, and I am so delighted to be here. This is actually my birthday week, so I'm considering this my birthday show. And I want you to know that it's my desire that we create an extraordinary shift in the world out of this particular radio show, and a Leo can't wish her anything less. So you're listening to Waking Up in America. We're a radio magazine, and we invite you to be a fly on the wall and listen to some of the most intriguing conversations in radio here. And we have our radio expert, Cherie Ross, who shows you how to incorporate oils into your daily life. We have J.J. Virgin, who tells it like it is, and she's the nutritionist for Superman, so you better pay attention. We've got Lisa Molson, and she's actually going to be giving you tips on melting away possible friction in the family or in the business place or inside of your own soul. Debbie Ringchop is the doctor who will help you light your financial future, and she does it if you just simply get her tagline, which is, when she says this tagline, everything should change for you. If you just get it, she says, pay yourself first. We have George Rucheski, who's bringing you tips for true leadership, and George is just the walking, talking inspiration. If you, maybe we can get him to give that little website later that shows where you can see him in action. George is spectacular. Will Roberts, he gives us a one-minute show. He likes to portray Will Rogers, and so Will Roberts does an excellent job of portraying the wit and wisdom of Will Rogers in his segment. My segment is Editor's Comments, and we'll be happy to do that. I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard. We've had a long list of guests on this show, from nutritionists to Olympic champions to heads of Institute of Economics. And we've had Bob Sirkosta on, and he was very elegant when he said that we were actually doing radio which would change the world. So we're going to need you to have that statement be true. So I've been contemplating on it, and it occurred to me that if we all turned green, our own personal world's green, which means we let ourselves have the money, we're kind to ourselves and others, and we live the healthiest life we know how to live, that the whole world wins. And I say TAG YOU'RE IT, which is the acronym for Turn America Green. So take that tag today. I just tapped you on the shoulder and just look into your life and see what you can do to produce something that's more green. In my case, I'm now taking a little bag with me when I go shopping so I don't need to use the bags. It's all kinds of things. It could be that to something that you do for your county. Look at it and see what that be. I'm actually starting to create a little community park in the town that I'm have bought into in San Pancho, Mexico. So I'm creating a meeting place for the town people. So it's all going to look however it looks in your life. And if you happen to hear a dog barking or a telephone ringing or some crackling on the line, know that our editors and guests call in from the most unusual locations, and sometimes the static gets a little intense, and sometimes that person has to drop off the show, or we'll bear with it if we can. But this show is built in the moment. It's built on topics that are relevant, and it's something that creates thinking and creates possibility. We'd like you to visit our website at wakinguppinamerica.com to find the times and cities in your area. And our apologies for last week. Subscribers mentioned that the link was broken and they couldn't sign up. So now it's repaired. And we'll be giving away a bottle of the oil this week. So keep a paper and pen handy, as there will be names and numbers that you'll want to jot down. Visit us at wakinguppinamerica.com to do these sign-ins and to meet the editors or to send us letters. And it's with great pleasure that I introduce to you the director of the Institute of Economics. Oh, my God, it's Peter Levoit, the man in the the McLeod hat.
Well, that's quite an introduction. I don't normally have – usually I need a drum roll with it, though.
Da, 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 da. And the man with the McLeod hat.
All right. Thank you. Well, it's good to be on the show. I've been waiting to talk to you again. It was pretty exciting when we had the last time I was on, when Dennis sort of announced that he was handing over the reins of the institute that he founded. And I'm just really honored not only have been asked and to be in that position, but also on your show.
Oh, that's absolutely great. And, you know, Dennis led such a great life that when he passed away, I just knew that it couldn't be handled by one single conversation because he touched so many things and so many different people, all the way to Larry Hagman, to Ed Begley, to numerous people whose names that we don't know, to Linda Gray, to anybody that knew him led a greener life. I mean, that a lot of that comes from my appreciation of what he's up to. So what we're taking a look here today is this is not only Dennis Weaver's friend, this was his top pick to carry on his Institute of Ecolonomics, which is near and dear to his heart. And I think, you know, Peter, you and I are here during some very, I know we always say challenging, but I have to tell you, it makes me quake just a little bit when I find out that within a few years, gases will be rumbling out of the ocean floors and unless we change our course. And I was wondering if you could fill us in on this, because honestly, I didn't know about this one until yesterday.
Well, I didn't really hear the report on gases coming out of the oceans, but as the Earth warms up, and obviously lately there has been very few disputes that, the evidence is definitely in, that we, because of human activity, we are warming the whole Earth up, which is causing many, many changes, not just in the climate, but as the Earth warms up, one of the places that are really affected is the Arctic tundra is melting. It's not being frozen anymore. And what happens then is the microbes in the soil work on the organic matter and create methane gas and CO2, which then exacerbates the greenhouse effect and once again increases the global warming.
But it's worse than that. It's poisonous.
That's poisonous.
It's actually poison gas.
But for years, the scientists who are willing to speak the truth and who have objectively looked at these situations have been telling us that this is coming, and this is why Dennis, being aware of these things, started the Institute, knowing full well that if we didn't start changing the way that we lived our lives in relation to the Earth and each other, that we would be in a situation where our children and our grandchildren, and it's not even going to last, you get to that point, are going to be severely impacted. And it's just the very survivability of our species is at risk. We talk about wars and threats, but there's nothing more threatening than our Earth not being able to sustain us.
Well, back in when was the harmonic convergence? 1980-something, mid-80s, somewhere around there?
Well, they're coming up in 2012.
Real one is coming in 2012. Well, back during that other harmonic convergence, one of the nights I slept. I went to bed. I went to sleep. And what I had this dream, and the dream was that I had just climbed out onto the surface of the Earth, and I was wearing an aluminum-like outfit all over, and the surface of the Earth was burnt. You know, there was, like, no green anywhere in sight. And I said that it was somewhere, I'm guessing, right around 2020, and I said that I'd been under there since about 2010 or 11, and it was probably would never be able to turn the Earth back again to the green. I was wondering if that was possible. And this was so real to me. I think that you know, I just took it on that we don't have to go to that burned place if we all awake, and I think that was part of what stimulated waking up in America, which it was originally Wake Up America, by the way, Peter, back in 1987.
Well, so, Dennis and I have had many, many, many long conversations about the fact that before that we can really mobilize to affect the change necessary, and to a certain extent, many scientists say that we've already gone too far to really get back to where it was before. But the first thing that has to happen is, as the title says, waking up. We need to raise consciousness for everybody in the world to realize that the effects of our actions are actually the most threatening thing that we're facing. It's not terrorism. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's not... It's us.
This is much more catastrophic.
Absolutely, yeah. This is the whole world. It's not an airliner or literally our survival. And to be honest with you, the Institute of Ecolonomics and in my posture, there's many people now talking about the problem and how serious it is. What we try to concentrate on is showing that there are solutions that can be implemented and that are being implemented. And so it's while we need both sides of the coin, and Al Gore has done a great job on one side, we are concentrating on not pointing fingers at coming up with different ways of providing goods and services that look out for the environment, that look out for the customers, and look out for the employees, and also make sure that there's a return of profit to business owners so that it's sustainable. Without profitability, there's no...
No, it makes it, you know, everybody says, what are you going to do with the Army? What are you going to do with the police? What are you... there's lots of things to do. You know, lots of things, and I think that that plan allows people, you know, that's what's behind Ecolonomics, is that you can have a healthy, wonderful life being green. So I'm delighted to be having this conversation, and I'm wondering, do we have, would George or Debbie or Cherie, who wants to go first? I'll name one if you don't.
Well, this is Cherie, and I would like to know, for our listeners, what is, from your perspective, what are some things that they can start doing now that don't, everybody is so busy and so stressed, and everyone is, you know, there are so many demands for our time and our energy. So what are some things that they could, changes that they could start making in their lives that would actually help to simplify their lives and add to getting our planet back to a healthy place to live?
Well, simplicity is really the key. One of the big things that we in this society is many times we live far away from where we work and we commute long distances with one person in an automobile. That's something that, you know, is a little more difficult. If somebody needs to move, but there's all kinds of things like not leaving lots of lights on, just little things, making sure that the vehicle you drive is in as good a condition as possible, that the tires are properly inflated and, you know, it's well-tuned. One of the things that we keep missing, I do a lot in my for-profit life with agriculturally-based fuels, alternative fuels and alternative fuel systems. And even if you go to the conferences and everything, everybody's talking about replacing fossil fuels. We need to look at the whole, not just our own lives, but the whole society, and realize that the most effective, immediate thing that everybody can do is do an analysis. You know, do I need to use this electricity? Do I need to drive to the store just to get some milk this time, or can I plan better? In other words, there's so many ways that we can learn to change our everyday habits so as to be more conservative and walk more lightly on the planet. And really, it's many times common sense and logic, and very difficult across the board to give general rules. But people can look at their lives and just try to realize that every time the light's on, that there's probably coal being burned in a power plant and spewing pollution up into the air somewhere. May not be in the valley you live in, but the world is one big unified place, and if there's pollution in another place, we are not disassociated from it. If there's injustice in another place, we're not disassociated from it. I mean, we're all in this, as Buckminster Fuller would say, spaceship Earth together.
Did you notice the article, or did you hear about the articles on the oceans in the LA Times?
I have not.
It was astounding, okay? Just an incredible journey into the oceans and how sick the oceans are and what needs to be done. And I remember Lynn Weaver, that was her project, you know, and she handed out those pieces of glass on string that were mermaid's tears, you know, the ones that get, the broken glass that gets polished by the sand. So, you know, there's a lot of mermaid's tears around, and now what we're seeing is that it's happening everywhere. And what you were talking about up in Alaska and the tundra, that's what's happening under the ocean's floor as well.
Well, in the coral, the fact that those ocean temperatures are rising are killing the coral bed.
And by the way, the coral was dead when I was in Tahiti in 1985. There was no alive coral
alive,
to be found.
It's dying.
Huh?
Yeah, where it's still alive, it's dying.
Yeah. So, but this is, the purpose of this conversation isn't to scare anybody. The purpose of this conversation is to say we need to snap to attention now, and we need to do what we need to do. And was that you, Cherie, or was that, I heard somebody saying something. Deb, was that you?
Hi, this is George. I had a question for Peter.
Go for it.
Peter, are there businesses, for-profit businesses, that from your perspective you're seeing people being much more environmentally aware?
Well, just the very fact that they're for-profit businesses, a lot of it has to do, once again, we're back to consciousness. There are for-profit businesses that are environmentally aware. One of the biggest things we're working on is, changing the perception that being environmentally sound and being a good businessman or being environmentally sound and being a profitable business are antithetical concepts. But there are numerous. There's just every day there are new ones coming along that are very environmentally sound, and part of it has to do with the fact that the degradation of the environment is creating the opportunity to come up with both restorative and sustainable enterprises, because doing it in the old way is not possible anymore. An example is I'm working with farmers in Nebraska. Nebraska and Kansas are having basically lawsuits over pulling water out of the aquifer because it's going down.
The aquifer is a aqueduct or something, or what?
The aquifer is basically the groundwater.
Okay, got it.
And so, in other words, they're pumping so much water out to grow soybeans and corn that the aquifer is becoming dangerously low, which... So they're actually restricting the use of the irrigation. Well, we're working with them to come up with alternative crops that are drought-resistant so they don't need to irrigate.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, that's an opportunity. We're looking at having them grow, instead of soybeans and corn, grow sunflowers, which are drought-resistant, which we would then turn and take the sunflowers and not only extract the oil, which is 45 to 50% oil in the seeds for human consumption because it's one of these non-trans fat oils, but also to make biodiesel out of. So in other words, it's looking at a problem and seeing the genesis of the problem and realizing that it's not sustainable and coming up with, there's a lot of people who are working on these kind of things, coming up with solutions, coming up with opportunities presented by the problem that was caused by the unsustainable practices of the past.
Peter, we've got about 2 minutes here, and I just want to make sure you and I were talking earlier about how originally this was the thing that was going to be in colleges, and now what we want to do is we want members of the community, as you hear this program, to go to your schools, and you can invite them to use the Institute of Ecolonomics as an advisor, because I think at the speed we need to move, it should be in the preschools and grammar schools and the kindergarten. So do you have any comments on that, Peter?
Well, the future is in the hands of our children. It's just another aspect of the consciousness raising. I do think that the younger people of today are more conscious of recycling and things like that, partially because, I may be wrong. I mean, how do I know? But because there has been some information. But we really need to put a push on, and actually at the Institute we're working on getting funding to develop a full K-12 curriculum that we can just distribute.
Now, you can actually go to the IOE, is it? No, it's ecolonomics.org. Now, is that information there?
About the curriculum?
Uh-huh.
Well, we haven't developed it. This is just...
Okay, so they can help.
Put it together because...
Great, this is good. So they'll help.
Yeah.
And we've got 850,000 listeners a month right now from the latest Scoopy-Doop here. So out of those 850,000 listeners, I'm hoping to light a few candles. And those candles can go out into the world and start to create this information and these concepts in your community. And, Peter, if they wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Well, they can certainly call the Institute office, which is 417-625-9838.
Oh, that's great. Say it one more time.
417-625-9838.
That sounds good. Now, Peter's agreed to stick around for a while, so if anybody on the team wants to use him in the conversation, he'll be with us until the end of the program today, so we're just delighted to have you here. And next, what we're going to do is ask Adrian to put on our Will Roberts and his interpretation of Will Rogers. I love it, because Will Rogers was the cowboy humorist from the 1930s, and I like the way Will saw things, so... here's to you, Will Roberts, for a good job. Well done.
All I know is what I read on the Internet. The big story this week is airplane safety. Now, I got a handful of first-hand experience on this one, because right now I'm at an airport in Louisville, Kentucky. And I've been from Chicago to Ohio and now to Kentucky and going back to Arizona in the last 3 or 4 days. And I feel good that I can contribute to the betterment of air travel and air safety, mainly because I travel so much. Now, it seems that all we have right now is plans. Plans to get plans in the works. Well, I got a plan, and that's the end-all plan. Because it seems that every time we make a new plan, someone's always changing that plan, which makes our plan not work out. My plan is that we take all the troops that are in Iraq and maybe bring back enough of them that can fill all the fights that we have going around here in the United States and maybe the UK. But put one or two of them on each plane and they can get a certification and watch our safety. You know, kind of show our support that way.
There you go. I love him. So you're listening to Waking Up in America. This is Dr. Val Kirkgaard. We're inviting you to visit our website at wakingupinamerica.com. Please sign in and let us know where you exist. We're actually creating a map of the world, and we're going to be locating you on that world map. And we're also having a drawing, so when you sign up, we'll actually be sending out a bottle of oil at the end of this month. So how about that? And that'll be lemon oil. And Cherie will tell you what lemon oil is good for shortly. So once again, our apologies for last week. Our subscription link was broken, and it is now repaired. So visit your way on over there and let us know that you're alive and well. And write to us in the comments box if there's anything in particular that you'd like us to talk about or any question you want us to ask a guest or a listener. And next up online, we actually have Lisa Molson. Now, Lisa Molson is going to be giving you some tips on actually melting away obstacles, I would have to say best.
Conflicts.
Yeah, conflicts. You got four minutes, Lisa.
Okay. Who wants conflicts? Not many of us.
Make them go away.
Yes. Yeah, it's something we really can't avoid since we are simply human, just different from one another. But, you know, some people attempt to avoid conflict at all costs, and some choose to take it head on. But if you're one of those who avoids conflict, you may feel like the conflict is like a big whale. It may go down into the deep, deep oceans for long periods of time, but at some point it will need to come up for air, and there it is again. And it will continue to come up and up and up and over again in your life until you get it handled. But many of us just can't seem to find how to handle these conflicts, so we don't have the tools to do them. So we can either take the time to learn, and what I call it, learn to rope the bull or pony, depending on how long you let it go. The first step is identify and see exactly what the conflict is, and then totally know what the end goal is. While many of us may think that the goal is to get the issue resolved, there's always an underlying bigger reward, which is peace and happiness in your relationship. And I say this because some of us can be short-sighted and simply just want to get our point across or win an argument, but when the result ends up with us being unhappy, then you really haven't won at all, have you? Now, the biggest thing that we can do is to see our role in the conflict. See what you contribute to the conflict first. So take a piece of paper and write down your complaint about your spouse, your coworker, or whatever regarding the given subject. Then, on the opposite side, write down how you contributed to that conflict. Could be a miscommunication, I didn't tell them what they needed to do, or I wasn't clear in my communication. But let's say it's money. The problem may be there's not enough, bills need to get paid, spouse is overspending, family's budget, spouse bought something without discussing it with the partner. Keep the emotions and blame out of the conversation. If the conversation becomes a conflict, an argument, take a break, come back to the topic, and always talk with the intent to be respectful and honor one another's concerns, coming up with win-win solutions. Once you both know that the other person is truly concerned about you and the situation, and you take ownership of your role in creating the conflict, watch the problem start to melt away. The whole thing is to get us back to happiness, folks, because the complaining is truly what creates misery for us. So when you take your ownership of your role, then that's how you become empowered. I've done this a couple of times, many times, and I found out that 75% of my page was something that I could have done to eliminate my own misery. So take up the challenge.
I was laughing because you were so right. What do you mean once or twice?
Yeah, I know. I said I think I could get another piece of paper out right now.
Yep.
And right. So these are a few tips from me, Lisa Molson, on Family Matters, on how to melt away your conflicts. Hope this can be of help to you. And remember, empower your family, empower the world.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? That's hot, Lisa. That's very hot. Is JJ here yet? JJ,
I am here.
Hot dog. I'm going to put you on towards the end, but I just wanted to make sure you were here.
Okay. The sooner the better would be good.
The sooner the better.
In a hot sunspot. So
you want to be the pivoting point.
The tipping point, yes.
Okay, that's good. Are we doing bones, or what are we doing?
You know, I think I was going to do bones, and then haven't I done bones?
Well, you recorded bones. We have it as a backup one.
We have the backup one because I could also talk about sleep. So you choose.
Oh, sleep. I think sleep.
You need sleep.
A really good one for
everybody. We got to do a sleep intervention. And you know, so am I ready? Should I just launch on in or shall I wait?
Launch.
Launch. You know, I think the most important thing when we talk about sleep is to really first identify if you're getting a good night's sleep, because I have learned in my professional life that if you ask someone, are you getting a good night's sleep? Oh, yeah. Now, if you say, so how many hours is that? Oh, four. But they're four really good hours. Like, oh, okay. What does it mean to get a good night's sleep? And I have a quiz on my website, Are You Getting a Good Night's Sleep, an original name, that you can take to help you identify not only if you are or aren't, which I think most of us will find out, oops, we're not, but what you can do, sorry, that was my office, what you can do about it. Because first you must identify the problems before you can fix them, right? So here they are. Are you falling asleep within 15 minutes of your head hitting the pillow? Are you staying asleep? That means that you cannot get up in the middle of the night to pee-pee. So nothing at all. You must stay asleep the entire 8 hours. Are you getting your 8 hours? Actually, optimally, it's 8 hours and 15 minutes. And no, there aren't those people out there that can get by with three. That is a joke. That doesn't actually mean happen in the real world. So if you think that that's you, you're actually living on stress hormones, and you're going to pull it off for a while, years, and then you will crash and burn hard. Can you wake up without an alarm clock? Do you wake up feeling rested? And remember, that's not a real indicator, because if we are living on stress hormones, we wake up feeling charged, ready to take on the day till we crash and burn again at night. So those are just a couple of the things that we have to look at. And then when people, because what happens, Val, is people say, I need more energy. So the first thing I now ask is, well, how are you sleeping? Because sleep is when you rebuild. It's where you raise growth hormones, where everything happens. You can't work hard without sleeping hard. So in looking at how well you sleep, you have to go back and track your habits back during the day, because a lot of these hormones, especially stress hormones, have a 6 to 8 hour half-life. So you're caffeinating yourself at noon or 3 o'clock, you're not going to be sleeping well. If you're either not eating at night, you know, those crazy diets say, don't eat after 12. Well, that doesn't work, because then at 9 o'clock at night, you're starving and you can't sleep and you raise your stress hormones, and that interferes with your body creating melatonin, your sleep brain chemical. But if you overeat, you got the same problem too. If you drink a bunch of alcohol, you have rebound hypoglycemia in the middle of the night. If you exercise hard at night or do something stimulating, I had one guy with high cholesterol, and literally all I had to do with him to change his life was stop him from reading email at night, because when he read email at night, it woke him up in the middle of the night, then he got back up, and that stress was what was causing the cholesterol problem. That was
maybe it's law and order criminal intent. That's my...
Uh-oh.
That keeps me up.
And that's why we don't put things like that in the bedroom. I say, get a chemistry text. You know, dabble with that at night. That'll put you to sleep. So, you know, look at those habits at night. Night should be calming. It should be yoga. Think of us in the wild. The sun came down. You know, we didn't have on bright lights and stimulating ourselves at night. So we've got to look at those habits. And then real quick, because I know I'm now running out of time. I'm tracking myself on my car clock. That's what I've taken to doing here. Couple things that can also help you. Obviously, getting adequate protein, making sure you're digesting it with great enzymes like BT and HCL, digestimes, because those are your building blocks for your brain chemicals. Controlling your stress, because stress is going to dampen your serotonin, your feel-good chemical, and then you can't make serotonin. So try stress management, which means different things to everybody, and some 5-HTP at night. It works great, too. I use B vitamin inositol in sleepy time tea, hot baths, lavender, and I'm sure that if we have our fabulous Essence woman on today, she could touch a little bit on all the great things you could use there for sleep. And with that, you can go on my website. I talk about all the reasons you get good sleep. It's one of the quickest, biggest links now to diabetes and obesity. And you can take the quiz, and then you can start moving into making sleep a priority. So I'm JJ Burton, and I think you've got the links on your website. So
yeah, you're right.
Perfect.
So, JJ, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Now, you're not going to be here next week, right?
I will be in Maui next week, and I have it on my list to do these records, but if you have bones, play that, and I'm going to
No, you don't
no, no,
do
no.
that. You have to
no,
do
no.
something.
I'm really trying. We are dealing with a little crisis.
You have to do it. I'm sorry. We want to
it's on my list.
Maui.
I'm working on it.
Maybe sun, something to do with sun tanning or relaxing.
Yes, and I'll come back and talk about, I'll find something, if not a million things to talk about when I come home from there. So
okay, then
I'm doing it purely for research, Belle.
Okay, so you can send me a thing that says bones if you're at your last outing.
Okay.
If you find a way, you have to do something on relaxation or fun or something.
I'm
like
trying.
That.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
And I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
And I'll tell you who else I'm glad is here. It's the person that says pay yourself first. I don't know. Probably in the transformational world, we're most willing to sacrifice that which is ours for the greater good of all. And sometimes that which is ours just needs to plain be handled. And the Doctor for Money talks about that. Am I correct?
Yes, this is Debbie Ringchop, your Doctor for Money. Today my segment was going to be about pay yourself first. What's that tagline really mean? And also, what does it not mean? I'm going to first start off by saying what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean be selfish, and it doesn't mean doing something that's going to cause harm to anybody else. What it really means is how to take care of you and your family. It means preparing for your future. It means who out there is going to be taking care of you and your family. It's not your employer. It's not the government. Social Security is only a supplement to your income needs. Even if it's only pennies a day, get in the habit of saving for your future. As often as you can, increase that savings. Let it grow, let it build using compound interest. Listen to the suggestions we make on the show. Find ways to reduce your cash outflow, such as using the energy-efficient appliances or vehicles. There's lots of ways to save. Reduce your debt services through financial planning, and then redirect the money that you were paying other places. Redirect that money toward your future. Invest into appreciating assets, not things that are going to depreciate. Work with experts. If you don't already have a financial planner that uses transformational thinking, contact me if you'd like some help with evaluating your finances. Main thing is pay yourself first means to also create an emergency fund, something that's going to earn interest that you're not going to touch every day, but it's liquid. You could withdraw or sell it quickly. In case of an emergency, such as being unable to work due to a health crisis or being laid off or something, it needs to have about 3 to 6 months' worth of your minimum monthly basic payments and living expenses. You don't want to have to be thinking about your basic needs. This is supposed to be a major emergency fund, not the special sales at Nordstrom's or, you know, fancy vacations. That's other side funds that you're going to plan for those vacations and plan for special gifts for yourself. Things that, of course, keep in mind, you need to stay within your means. What it does also mean is that there are other ways to pay yourself first. It means find ways to attract positive energy, using meditation to help reduce stress, shift your energy into a higher conscious plane. Schedule mini vacations for yourself, whether it's just taking the time to sit out in the garden or walk along a beach or lakefront or a trail through a park. Build a few minutes every few hours into your day to sit back, close your eyes, listen to a song, or think about a wonderful person, place, or experience. Before you go to bed every day, reflect on a positive experience. The other thing is when you come home from work or the kids come home from school, and you sit down to dinner or you come in, don't come in sharing all the crap that happened today. Make sure everybody comes in that they have to share 3 positive, great things that happened to them that day. Initially, it'll be a struggle because, unfortunately, so many people, the of the day comes out first. What we want to do is start getting ourselves to start shifting into thinking more of the good. The more you start working on reflecting on the good things, you're going to find your energy changes so much, and you start looking forward to finding good things every single day. And that energy change is just going to make your whole life take off. Positive energy creates more positive energy. So the more we can start to look for the positive, the more we're going to create it faster and faster. So this was Debbie Ringchop, your Doctor for Money. Remember, pay yourself first. And learn to become your own bank, how to manage the money and pay yourself. And enjoy those great riches you well deserve. You can contact me through email with Debbie@wakingupinamerica.com, or you can call me or any of us editors toll-free at 866-RADIO-99. I wish you all a magnificent day. Remember, think about three positive things before you share anything else today with your family. Tell them three great things that happened to you today. That's it. Back to you, Val.
Okay, thanks, Deb. And in case you're too depressed to come up with three, come up with one. It'll be a good start. You can do whatever you want to do with that. I really appreciate you, Debbie. Thank you for, she's a doctor for a lot more than money. Money just happens to be a byproduct. We've got another person of extraordinary knowledge and talent here, and her name is Cherie Ross, and she's worked with the essential oils. How many years now, Cherie?
Say again, Val. How many what?
How many years?
Oh, forever. over 30.
Over 30, that's close to forever in this lifetime, that's for sure. And we're very lucky to have her here. And, you know, we've still got Peter on the show. And what I was thinking was, you know, if you had any comments about how to strengthen what he was talking about through oils, that would be interesting too.
Well, yes. And with one of the things you mentioned was lemon. So I'm going to touch on lemon, and then I'm also going to dovetail on what JJ said about sleep and about weight loss, because so many people, I think for people there are three concerns in their life. One is obviously to bring the stress down. Another is weight loss. And a third is money. I mean, whenever you talk to people, those seem to be the three main key areas in their life where they'd like some changes. So one of the things that I'm going to mention is ways to bring the stress down in the body on a cellular level, and also it is going to save you money and help you lose weight. So how does that sound? So let's, and it's very good for the environment. Why? Because I'm going to talk about what you set me up for lemon oil, because one drop of lemon oil is equivalent in the body nutritionally to 1 pound of organic lemon rinds. And imagine what it would be if we all drank fresh lemon in our water or lemon oil in our water instead of soda pop. Now, would you like you to think about how many cans and bottles we go through with soda pop? And what that does to our body, it causes us to gain weight, it causes us to have more stress in the body, and it also causes our brains to not function as clearly and as quickly. So it adds to the stress and it creates a domino effect in the body that just accelerates. What else does lemon do? Well, in addition to lemon oil helping your body digest fat better, now this is one drop in about every 8 ounces of good fresh spring water, okay? And a glass container is better than plastic, because we all know that the plastic leaches those nasty chemicals that actually go in our toxic to our nerves and causes our brains to not function as quickly. So glass is better, and it's much more recyclable as well. So what you do is this is information that has been researched and studied in Europe. And one diffused lemon oil into the air will kill meningococcus bacteria in 15 minutes, typhoid in 1 hour, staph in 2 hours, pneumonia in 3 hours. And even a 0.2 solution of lemon oil infused into the air will kill diphtheria bacteria in 20 minutes and completely inactivate tuberculosis. That's lemon oil. That's why Dr. Valerie said, get some lemon oil.
Uh-huh, because when you think of the horror stories you hear from hospitals and stuff, what would happen if hospitals had the atomizers?
Would you like to know? There's a hospital in New York that's doing a study with the lemon oil that I work with, and I think it's Columbia, but don't quote me. This hospital has chosen a few of their surgical rooms to infuse lemon oil into the air during surgery and after. They have had a dramatic decline in staph infections after those surgeries, just by infusing the oil into the air.
That's what
and
I thought.
The surgeons are much less fatigued because lemon oil improves mental clarity by 28% after smelling it for 20 minutes.
Get out.
No kidding. This has been documented. And it's been, major tests have been done in manufacturing facilities and in schools in Asia and in Europe. And so this is the power of what we talk about. This is using our natural resources to their maximum capacity, still being able to use the meat of the lemon for wonderful lemonade, but using the rind is what we do for lemon oil, which actually increases the body's ability. Now, it also increases elasticity in the cells, so you have a little bit more skip in your step, and you don't sag as fast.
So a bottle of it's going out into the world. You got 1 minute left, my friend.
Well, the 1 minute is sleep, and I'm going to support JJ. And that is when I get enough sleep at night, my body weight will drop 8 pounds in 3 weeks.
Get out.
If I do not sleep enough, I will gain 8 pounds in 3 weeks. I will not change my diet. I will not change anything. It's just how much I rest because of the stress and the metabolic systems in the body working properly or not. So there are studies done in Europe where they took oils and they diffused them into the air. You didn't even have to put them on you. They just diffused them into the air while people were sleeping. And what they found out about these two particular essential oils, now these are not the kind you go buy at Bath and Body Shop or the health food store. These are the medical grade. So if you want to know how to get a hold of them, you get a hold of me and I'll point you in that direction. But what they found was if they diffused these oils while they were sleeping, they went into REM sleep faster. Like JJ said, within 15 minutes they're asleep. They went into REM sleep faster. They stayed there longer. They woke up refreshed. And between 2 and 4 in the afternoon when everybody's brain function drops, people in this study, their brain function actually peaked between 2 and 4 in the afternoon.
And then they realized that they were out of time.
And so the oils are jasmine and lavender. So there you go.
And you can go to our website at wakingupinamerica.com. You can write this woman. You can actually call her at toll-free 866-RADIO-99. Your number will be passed on to her. She returns her telephone calls. These are extraordinary human beings. And the next one that we have in line, and George, the next 4 minutes of yours, is George Rachesky, and his expertise is actually tips for leadership. So take it away, George.
Thanks, Val. Today I wanted to build on something that Debbie had mentioned, and that's about saying good things, finding good things. It's one of the characteristics that we discovered as we interviewed the leaders that we highlighted in our book called True Leaders. They were people who saw the positive in others, and while they also were able to see what wasn't there, they really focused on the positive. What are people good at, and how can we help people take what they're good at and be more masterful to be able to add energy to the system? And we discovered that there is so much built into our lives that causes us to focus on what isn't there, on the problem. It's part of our educational system because we focus on solving problems. It's part of our natural interest in making things better, so we have to find what isn't working in order to fix it. And yet, in terms of building capabilities, we find that it is seeing what somebody is good at and helping them embrace it and become more masterful with it. In my own life, I found that I had such a tendency to focus on the negative. When our daughter was a junior in high school, she came to me, they had just gotten their grades, and she said, Dad, we got our grades on number 2 in the class. And the first thought that was coming out of my mouth, and I bit my tongue, was, who's number 1? And instead, I looked at Kate, and I said, Kate, that's great. And she looked back at me and said, yeah, Dad, I've got a whole year to go. She went on to graduate from Dartmouth College as one of the top 20 in her graduating class. She has a drive about her, but her emphasis on, I know I can get better, we believe is inherent in virtually everybody in an organization. People have a natural interest in getting better. People are well-intentioned. But how do they take those steps forward? Well, a leader works with them to take the positive steps, to emphasize the progress, to help them build their competence, to build their confidence, and to build their character so that they'll continue to invest in helping develop themselves so that they become more masterful. And when you do that, you're adding energy to the system. It's true in volunteer organizations. It's true in our businesses. It's true in our schools. When we look and catch people doing good things and we acknowledge it and help them do more of that, it adds a positive energy. And as you add energy to that system, you too will find that you're being uplifted by the wonderful efforts of the people around you as well. This segment has been brought to you by True Leader Coach, and you can write to me, George, at wakingupinamerica.com. If you are interested, I have free copies of a book called Lessons in Leadership. Just send me an email. I'll be happy to send you a complimentary autographed copy of that.
And I've got one. I treasure it.
Back to you.
This guy is a good guy, and he knows how to lay stuff out. Well, we've been having all this high and inspirational talk, and I just have to mention Roberto's bungalows in San Pancho, Mexico, because you can go down there and you can sit and be by the pool. You have these little haciendas. Roberta's Bungalows in San Pancho, Mexico is a great place to go if you want to write that book or just relax on the beach. The owners, Steve and Diane, are just incredibly friendly people, and you'll feel like you're visiting their home. And you can actually reach them at www.roberto, and that's roberto.com. And if you mention you heard about it on Waking Up in America, they'll give you a 10% discount. So how about that? Telephone number down there in Mexico is 011-523-11258-4375. We're going to put this on the website, but I'll say it for you one more time. From the USA, you can call the USA number, which is 1-971-239-4120. These are great people. They're great rates. And you're going to love San Pancho. It's a special place on earth. This is Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and my segment is Editor's Comments. And what I wanted to comment on the world in this week was I read an article in the LA Times about how the city council is proposing not having dogs on tied up for more than 3 hours, which I think is a great thing. But now we would have this law that would now be on the books, and then our neighbors could turn each other in and things of that nature for tying the dog up, when I suggest that what we do is we practice kindness and we educate people on how to take care of animals and things of that nature. Rather than turning our neighbors into police people, perhaps we can find a way to share the needs of the dogs. And as dear Peter was saying, you know, part of this whole thing is making things simple, which was what Ed Begley was saying, and which, of course, is my attraction to Mexico. I'm actually buying down there, and I'm going to build my own house, and the whole thing is going to cost me under $300,000 to have an extraordinary ocean view house. Everything's very simple. My monthly costs will be under $1,000 because I've paid cash for everything. So that's what I'm creating, is the ultimate in simplicity, and I'm already talking with Pastor John Young, and we're talking about the possibility of creating our little radio station down there. So a lot of exciting stuff is happening. So rather than making a new rule for dogs on a leash or anything else, why don't we just create some kind of kindness that allows the thing to work and start putting our ideas on solutions rather than on rules and how people will then be penalized for breaking the rules. Then I have a different little piece here, which I observed in the paper today, actually, in the Los Angeles Times, that, you know how we've always had 9 planets? Well, they've changed the outer planet Pluto into a Pluton because it's so small. So it doesn't, Pluto never compared inside with the rest of the planets, and it was considered the smallest planet. So by changing a point of view and a perspective, we now have 12 planets, because when they declared Pluto a Pluton and said that that was a classification of planet, that also included the possibility of 3 more joining, which they did. So we have a total of 12 planets now simply by changing a point of view. So if we can change a point of view on anything, if we decide to turn ourselves green or we look to see how we can make our lives work or how we can be more kind, rather than what's wrong over there, I say that one of the problems of the Middle East is that citizens have no future. All they look forward to is war and arguing and bickering and class distinctions and, suicide bombing probably seems like a great solution, a great way to go out with a bang. So perhaps we can change our point of view and find a way to give human life and the citizens of the world a future worth living into. And my friend Bent Migan, who wrote the music Almost Ordinary People for this show, talked about, he was a radio star in Denmark with his dad, Arnie, and basically he said he invited us all to be stars, and the translation is that a star creates the space for others to shine as brightly as they can. So I'm inviting everybody here on Waking Up in America to be a star in your own life. I am a Leo. I am planning to have a interesting birthday celebration, because this is also the time of celebrating the life of Caressa Karlstad. And Caressa Karlstad passed away last Tuesday. Not this last one, but the one before. And we'd all been friends since junior high school and grammar school and all that stuff. And she'd been our friend for over 50 years, and as Caressa laid there in her stated condition after they had dressed her after her passing, who was standing there but Barbara Francis, Naomi, and myself, and we've been standing there 50 years before. So if you have friends that you love that you've known for years, make sure that you get in touch and that you enjoy those friendships. There was a good reason for them. You know, so what we need to do is we need to be kind. We need to remember all the great connections that we have. And I'm going to ask if we can create a small celebration for birthdays after Caressa's leaving, because what's going to happen is Caressa was a simple woman who led an extraordinarily good life, and her service will be at the Presbyterian Church in Westwood, and I'm expecting to see a lot of people there, because Caressa made sure that not only did she love her husband and care for her children, but she was the director of the Meals on Wheels programs for like 25 or 30 years. So, Caressa, just thank you very much for making the world around you green, and I think if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't be so well connected with all my friends from the past, and I am so grateful for the community that you created for us. So, thank you, Mrs. Carlstead. I love you, and I wrote you a 20-second commemorative on your life, and you'll hear it on Saturday, and I absolutely hope you love it, and I want to thank you for having been with us here today on Waking Up in America. We invite you to visit our website at wakingupinamerica.com. Please make a mark on the site so that we know that you have visited, and we would like to say that this program has been produced by Editors on Air, our radio partners, ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, and our executive producer, Nathan Chet. And Peter Lavoda, are you still here?
I sure am.
Just what an incredible thing you're doing with your life. This is the guy that wears the other McLeod hat.
Yeah, could I make a point?
Go for it.
That sort of dovetails into perspective.
We're in the last 30 seconds of the show.
A long time ago, instead of saying things like, you know, it's to die for as a positive thing, whenever there's a negative description of a positive thing, I change it to live for. And it's amazing how it changes your basal positivity.
What a great idea. Thank you for that contribution. Now you know why we keep him around. We also like to thank our Chief Technical Officer, Pete Laubach, and the team at Voice America, Denise Dion. You do wonderful cards for us, and Ruben and Adrian, thank you. And Ben Migan, thanks for Almost Ordinary People, and next week invite a friend to listen, and if you're in an area of smog, just hold your breath and turn green. Thanks for listening.